This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Booksplode, The Other Side.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Booksplode, The Other Side. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello, I'm on the other side.
We're on the other side of the country. We're talking about The Other Side, the recent graphic novel released from Image Comics. And this is a Booksplode podcast that was brought to you by the patrons over at patreon.com/ifanboy, in which we take a look at a collected edition or a graphic novel or some larger than single issue release. And it doesn't have to be new, but sometimes it is, and this one is one of those. The Other Side was originally released in 2006 as a miniseries from Vertigo.
Five-issue miniseries from Vertigo, yep.
And
the first published professional work by an unknown writer named Jason Aaron. A writer so unknown that when given him to interview at New York Comic Con, we had no idea what to say to him. Well, it's one of the only recorded interviews we never used.
To be fair, you guys handed me the microphone and said, talk to this guy. Put me next to him and started rolling. I didn't even know who it was. You didn't tell me his name. I was not told his name. Early days. So anyway, The Other Side is a comic written by Jason Aaron, drawn by Cameron Stewart. As I said, originally released in 2006, December through 2007 by Vertigo, DC Comics, and is being reprinted by Image Comics as a nice hardcover collection. I guess the rights reverted back to Jason Aaron, I assume. But this is a five-issue miniseries, as Josh said, about the Vietnam War. And what was really interesting to me was reading the introduction and then the afterword, and not knowing the connections that Jason Aaron had to the war and people in it. I mean, obviously, lots of people have connections to the war, and lots of people fought in the war. But the intro is by Captain Dale Dye, who's a very famous. Actor and military advisor for Hollywood. He was in Band of Brothers, and if there's a war movie, basically, he's probably in it playing a intimidating authority figure. Who was he playing in Band of Brothers?
He was Colonel Sink.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
And he was apparently part of the unit that Jason Aaron's cousin was in Vietnam, which was a I don't know how to describe the unit. It wasn't like a regular unit. But that's how he knows Dale Dye through the reunions that he would go to with his cousin before his cousin died. So I found all that very interesting. And we'll get to that maybe later. But did you read this originally when it came out?
I read a couple issues of it, and I decided I didn't like it, and I believe I panned it on the show.
Interesting. I didn't read it.
I remember my thought at the time was, this is just second-rate Full Metal Jacket stuff. And what's interesting about that is the reason for that is that his cousin wrote the short story or the novella. Actually, it's in the end here, if I can get to the end, that Full Metal Jacket was based on.
Right.
So this is literally inspired by the person who wrote the story that inspired Full Metal Jacket. So I think a lot of what I, at the time, I thought was, oh, this is just writing what he heard in that movie, was just the source was the same.
More authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jason Aaron's cousin was named Gustav Hassford, and he was a Marine combat correspondent. So he was there writing stories. He became a novelist, an Oscar-nominated screenwriter, and he apparently a fun time person, fun guy to be around. But you're right. So he wrote the novel that Kubrick used to base Full Metal Jacket on, and here we are. So the basic structure of the other
the
side.
The book is called The Short Timers, if you ever want to look that up, by the way.
And so the basic structure of the other side at the five-issue miniseries is that we meet two new recruits, one American and one Vietnamese, as they join the army. Well, the American is drafted, and the Vietnamese soldier, I think he joins up to protect his village. I believe that's why he did
it. He more or less has to go.
Yes. So we see them both go from, you know, completely green soldier to through the end of their time in the war. And there's going to be spoilers here. If you haven't read The Other Side, it'll be hard to talk about without talking about what happened in it. So pause the show and come back if you don't want to get spoiled. But war is hell, and that's really what you need to know about The Other Side. What did you think overall, Josh, having read it now 10 years later, having panned it previously?
I thought that my earlier criticisms were probably harsh, probably a bit too quick. However, I think there were a lot of things in it that impressed me a lot, especially they impressed me a lot in terms of the guy that we know that Jason Aaron is going to grow into as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to focus a little bit on the story and the writing stuff of this, because just like Cameron Stewart's great. Yeah. He's great in this. He does a wonderful job with difficult material. There's a whole bit at the end where he traveled in Vietnam for a while before drawing it.
There's great back matter in this. You've got Jason Aaron scripts, yeah, which is interesting to see. I always like seeing how writers handle their scripts. And then you have a whole travel diary that Cameron Stewart did while he was in Vietnam doing research. It's crazy that he went to Vietnam to do research for a 5-issue miniseries. But that's how, I guess, important it is to get a story like this particularly correct.
Also, I think this was the end of an era when this was the kind of thing that would have paid enough to make that worth it.
Right.
I think that it was a little overly ambitious in terms of what it was trying to accomplish in its form, if that makes sense. I think that the dialogue, the settings, the stories, the factual nature of war was all really good. I think that the dueling storylines of the two people was a little film school, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's an early thing. You're trying to be impressive. You're trying to think of something kind of high concept. I don't know that that was necessary. And then a lot of the it was slightly overwrought, I think, in the way of a really, really talented person who didn't quite know when to hang back yet.
I thought this was impressive as a first time piece. I thought the stuff we know from Jason Aaron was here. Like, he's really good with voice and character.
Yeah.
My criticism would be, I thought it was too short.
Mm-hmm.
I saw how long it was, and I was really excited. And when it ended after 5 issues, and then there was a lot of back matter, I was a little bummed. But also, I thought there was way more story to be told. I thought it moved pretty quickly and didn't really stop. You know, I feel like I liked these characters, and they were interesting, but we didn't spend a whole ton of time with them. And I think that's a testament to the writing, that I wanted to spend more time with them to learn more about them. But
mm-hmm.
So I thought it could have used another couple of issues. And so the American character is from Alabama, which is where Jason Aaron's from. I guess he sees ghosts or he hears voices, and I didn't love that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I was talking about, where just that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It also wasn't
unless they're personifications of like of guilt, but the problem is he sees them from like right off the bat.
Yeah, and you don't need to do it. So, and the other thing is you're doing a parallel structure here where basically you have the Vietnamese guy and you have the American guy at the same time, and the weird hallucination stuff is only happening on one side. It seems like thematically, if you were going to do it, then you should tie them together. They should both be seeing the same kind of thing. And I think that would have made that stronger. I like the idea of telling it from both sides. And I think, one of the things that came out of this was I was like, wow, Jason Aaron really understood this war. And I say that only because I recently completed watching Ken Burns' Vietnam War after not really understanding that war for most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I don't fully understand it now, but now I get it a lot better. And I mean, Aaron got this. He knew this cold. He knew what the Vietnamese side was fighting for. He got a sense of sort of how the American side, you know, the grunts felt. I felt, you know, so that all felt really authentic and really well done and much more impressive than I think a young writer who hasn't done a project like this. Like it's ambitious. Yeah. I just think it would have been more effective if it was a little more straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I think part of the problem was I never really got why he was having these mm-hmm. visions or hearing these voices. Like, why is M16 talk to him?
Oh, you know what? The Vietnamese kid does have...
He sees, old gods of...
Yeah.
It just...
But it's still not parallel.
Yeah. The war is interesting enough. The characters are interesting enough. I don't necessarily know we needed it. And so we spent so much time with the hallucinations that I don't think we got enough time with him actually in the war. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Overall, though, it's a really interesting look at both. I mean, both sides. It's called The Other Sides. Both sides are treated pretty much equally in terms of time on the page. And we get the point of view of the Vietnamese and what they think of Americans and the propaganda they are told about the American soldiers. And we get the American soldiers, what they think of the Vietnamese, the propaganda they're told about the Vietnamese. So it's all, I mean, it's all a big mess.
Well, you know, like, and there's a really, all the ground soldiers that the American meets, they're all, like, nihilistic and, they just don't care about anything and they've gotten to be, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but they just, like, it's not a gung-ho, go America, patriotic thing. It's all is lost. It's a big joke. It's nihilistic. It's what I said. The other side is, that's going to be hard not to do. The Vietnamese side, you know, everybody is the opposite. They're so gung-ho. They believe in everything that is happening. It's, you know, like you to not believe is just treason and sin all wrapped up in one. But they're both equally ridiculous. And they're both not rooted in reality.
One side is defending its home. And the other side was forced to go there. They weren't like – it wasn't like World War II where people joined up because they wanted to fight. These are guys who got a letter in the mail, and now they're sitting in Vietnam. They're not
thrilled. And they don't know why. They literally don't know why.
Right, and so there was no way we're going to win that war because the other side's fighting for their home. Mm-hmm. I thought it did a good job of showing that distinction between the two sides, but I just wanted more of it, I think. I was a little sad when it ended.
I will say that I wasn't reading it thinking, boy, I wish that had gone on, but now that you say it, that definitely seems like the case. There was a really quick transition from being in the field to being back at home, like in his room.
Yeah.
It was just kind of over. He was there. And I feel like there are a lot of things that weren't dealt with. Now, he doesn't necessarily want to go on and on forever about this. I'm sure it was pretty taxing to draw on just all that research and all that stuff. And, you know, realistically, how long are people going to buy this? But I don't know. Maybe there's a way, instead of not necessarily making it longer, but to be a little more effective with sort of the space that they did have.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of page given to the hallucinations.
Sure.
And maybe those pages are better used exploring their lives in the war. I mean, it's not bad. It's certainly not bad. And you get a really good sense of what it was like there, I assume.
I just could have spent a lot more time with the soldiers. I don't know. I wonder if part of me and maybe part of you is hankering for a little more of a storyline.
Yeah.
Because it is, but, you know, I understand why there wouldn't be, because it really
it's more of a, I don't even know how you describe it. It's not really like a, like a tone poem. I mean, these two guys are inching closer together until they meet, mm-hmm. and then one of them kills the other, and then it ends with the one being haunted by the dead one.
Like, all that sounds really good in the pitch.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it, you know, works as well here. And, you know, like, I bet Jason Aaron knows all this.
Well, it's a first work. I think, and the thing is, it's really impressive as a first work.
It definitely is.
It's definitely not bad. I just see things where, you know, as a first time writer, I mean, this is really terrific. I've seen, I mean, the character building here is stellar, and the dialogue is, you know, everyone's got different mm-hmm. voices, and it's personalities through their voice. And his family doesn't talk the way that his platoon mates talk. And it's really well written. It's just, I think structurally, you know, I would have liked to have seen it a little different. I just kept waiting for him. There must be a reason why his gun's talking to him. There must be a reason why he keeps seeing these skeletons. And I guess they were setting it up that he, at the end, he feels the guilt of killing the other soldier. But it wasn't really established that they were visions of guilt.
And there's not really a reason for him to feel guilty about it, given everything else that happened before that.
The Cameron Stewart art is really terrific.
I was thinking about this, and I really like Cameron Stewart's work. And I can't think of a lot of things that I've seen it on that have gotten me all that excited since then. I know that he did that Sea Guy thing with Grant Morris at one point. I really liked that, and I liked his work on that. And what I'm starting to realize is that the economics of comic book publishing as it exists now, say over the last 10 years or so, there's not a lot of space left for this kind of thing. Because Vertigo or whoever isn't really going to support it.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Stewart's not nobody. Like, he had to get paid for this.
Right.
And I guess a parallel that I would maybe make to it is that you could say that Dark Horse is doing something like Rebels.
Right. But not at this quality level.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, they're not using a high test guy, you know, top tier sort of comic book talent, and giving him the room to do this stuff and fly to Vietnam and spend time there and do that. So basically, if you're Cameron Stewart, you can either go work for Marvel and DC, or you can do...
He's doing Motor Crush at Image.
Or a high-concept Image book.
Right.
And that's the only way he's going to make a living doing this kind of thing at this point. And there's no... Like this? There's no market for this anymore. This doesn't get published anymore.
Only Garth Ennis does this, and he doesn't do it because he makes money off it.
Right, and if he did, he does it for a different publisher, and he's not going to have a Cameron Stewart artist on it.
Right, unless he's doing a Punisher version in which he gets higher quality artists on it, but that's...
Right, and that's the only way that's a big change. This used to be a thing that we could count on, you know, as having enough of an audience that it would be worth doing it, and it's over. And I find that really sad.
Yeah, and also this, I mean, Image is publishing this because it's Jason Aaron and Cameron Stewart, both creators who do books for them. It's done. It was Eisner nominated for Best Miniseries. I mean, it's got a pedigree. It's got creators who work on books currently for them. But this isn't a book normally that Image is going to publish anyway.
No.
You know, unless there's a sci-fi element to it.
I mean, if Jason Aaron brought this to them and said, I want to do five issues like this, they'd probably do it.
Right.
But it wouldn't be worth Jason's time or whoever artist. You know what I'm saying? That, like, it isn't going to bring in enough of an audience that it's likely that you'd see it.
Right.
And I don't know how big of an audience it had. I don't know. I can't think about what was different. I don't know what was different about comics then that this would be allowed. I don't know if Vertigo is just allowed to funnel money out of DC publishing.
Well, if you think about it, so it had a bit of a hook for it in terms of marketing. You had, you know, based on the story of the guy who wrote Full Metal Jacket, and I don't mean a character, but an actual sort of. Yeah. The world. So you had that. Yeah. You could market that. Cameron Stewart is a real big talent, and Jason Aaron was an upcoming talent. I mean, there are things you could try to sell this on in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why they did it. If it had just been Jason Aaron, some guy who had a story about Vietnam, and I don't know how this got published. Maybe that's how it happened, but just looking from the outside in, it at least has a wider media hook that you can go to a magazine and say, hey, this is a comic based on the novella of the guy who wrote Full Metal Jacket. And, you know, maybe they'll write a story on it.
And also, this is 2 years before Marvel Studios, which is key.
Sucking all the air out of the room.
Yep. And The Walking Dead and whatever, you know, the race to high concept properties.
It's a good war book. I mean, it's not great, but it's good.
Yeah. But really, it struck me as, oh, this is the end of an era. And it's also the beginning of a Jason Aaron career. So it's two things at the same time. And I just think about, like, imagine if Jason's career had taken place 15 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd gotten a chance to do lots of work like this in addition to whatever he was doing. And he's great at superhero stories. He's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But if he'd given like some of the opportunities that Garth Ennis had had while that was still around.
Right.
Wow. You know?
But you can totally see the talent here.
Absolutely. 100%.
And despite what you thought 9 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, no.
11 years ago.
I was way worse at talking about comics than he was at writing them.
You also pan-scalped his first issue.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So
I believe I made up for that, though.
You're not a Jason Aaron first issue guy.
I wasn't. I am now. Now I'm not a... Back then, I was a Brian Azzarello first issue guy, and that's completely changed around on me.
You know, it's a good read if you like war comics. If you're a really big Jason Aaron fan and you want to be a completist and you want to see his first work, I say, you know, it's worth checking out. I think the script is really interesting if you like a process person, to see how he breaks down scripts, or at least how he broke down scripts when he was younger. Mm-hmm. And also the photographs that Cameron Stewart took. I mean, God, he went into those tunnels.
I saw that picture and I thought, that's a place I don't want to do that. But I really have to give it. I have to give it to Cameron Stewart. As I go through this whole thing, you know, he's got a lot of surrealism in here from the hallucinations and stuff. He's got a dragon god fighting a Genghis Khan looking type god.
Right.
And on another page, he has just piles of bodies. And then he's got, you know, straight up American, bombers and tanks and vehicles and helicopters, all done really well. All the uniforms on both sides are really correct, I guess, you know, but they each look like their own sort of thing. He has the VC uniforms that look a certain way, or the NVA uniforms. It's a lot happening.
It's quite an achievement. I don't want to say tour de force, but it's a beautiful looking book. And Dave McKay on colors, it's a real good looking book. And I'm not surprised this was nominated. I'm not surprised it got good notices. I'm not surprised that Jason Aaron's career blew up out of this. I mean, I know, I assume he got scalped off the strength of this, so that's good. That means we have to praise this book no matter what, because it got us, you know, brought us scalped eventually. It was fun to read because this is like the one, I'm a huge Jason Aaron fan, and this is like the one major project of his that I haven't ever read. So
uh-huh.
when I saw that Image was putting a collection out, I was like, oh, I have to read that, because I felt like an idiot, you know, as someone who likes war comics and stories about war and who loves Jason Aaron, I'd never read it for some reason. I don't know, you know.
I tell you, too, Cameron Stewart's art in this really does remind me of the NAM. Mm. Is it Golden?
There's a lot of artists on the NAM.
I know, but there was sort of a main artist.
Michael Goldman?
Michael Golden, that's the name.
Michael Golden.
There's definitely like a kinship there in the way that Cameron's... There's, you know, a slight edge of cartooniness along with sort of the realistic stuff. It's very... very close to that style.
There's like a dash of Derek Robertson in it.
Yeah, but that's even related to the Michael Golden thing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
If you look at the first page and first interior page, it's great. It's just this drawing that has like motion lines sort of all over it, as I guess something's exploding as some dude is screaming in fear.
Oh yeah, it's a great page. Yeah.
Then you go to that next page. Look at that last panel. There's a little bit of storytelling in that last panel.
Oh yeah. Well, the first page, the dude stepped on a mine. He got all blowed up.
Yeah.
No, that first page from the body being zipped, the body being taken, the funeral, and then the letter, which is almost like it sort of implies that he's like replacing this dude. You know, it's like the circle of war life.
But look at what happens in that first panel, the last panel on the second page, which is he gets his draft notice. And I just was looking at it, and a couple of things that really stand out. Like, the mailbox is on a post. Like, it's got branches sticking out of it.
Right.
Like, it's not a nice mailbox. It's a tree. The mailbox is dented, and it has blood stains on it. And then you look at his knuckles, and they have blood on it, because he punched the mailbox.
Right.
And bloodied it when he pulled the draft. That all happens in one panel. And I just caught that. There's a lot of that going on in here. It's really...
I love the first when they're all going off to war, like,
mm-hmm.
before he starts having the visions, from the point of getting the draft notice, and then he has, you know, he has dinner with his family, or the family sees him off. They have great faces. His dad's face is a terrific face. To the point where he goes to boot camp, and he's got the sock in his mouth, which is a thing that really happened to his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought this was really terrific. And then he starts seeing the dead body, and that's when I was like, uh-oh.
Well, I mean, like, I think what you're seeing here is that, you know, having a veteran, I don't even know how old he was, but, like, clearly Cameron Stewart knew his shit.
Yeah.
And having teaming him up with a guy, you know, who's new but doing a really ambitious story was some good editing, basically. Like, yeah. That's a wise choice. That makes this work. A lesser artist, this falls apart quickly.
Yeah.
Will Dennis, of course, it's Will Dennis is great.
So it's interesting. The other side, Jason Aaron, Cameron Stewart, Dave McKaig, you know, it's definitely worth checking out. It's a really good comic.
And it's worth reading, you know, in terms of... Yeah, it's absolutely worth reading. I would recommend it.
So hardcover re-release from Image Comics, or you can go back and dig up those old Vertigo issues. It's a 5-issue miniseries. Good stuff. So that is our Booksplode on the other side. As we said before, the patrons unlocked these shows at patreon.com/ifanboy. We alternate months between the Talksplode, which is the interview show, and the Booksplode, which is the review show. So thanks for the patrons who unlocked it. Thanks for listening to the show. And so we'll be back next month with the Talksplode. And until then, enjoy your Thanksgiving if you are in America. And I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Thank you.
What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.